If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go with me, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah. To the book of Isaiah. This is a very familiar passage, and most of you probably learned this passage in Sunday school. If not in Sunday school, I'm sure that most of you heard a preacher preach on it somewhere along the line. It's one of these mainstay passages in the Old Testament that if a preacher can't come up with a sermon on, he shouldn't be preaching. And that's what's going to happen this morning. Now, by way of introduction, before I read this passage, I've been trying to preach two different sermons when I do this. Now, if I had a charge with three churches or more, I met a pastor, United Methodist pastor, here about a month ago, and he says he has five churches on his charge. Five. Now, it would be a Herculean attempt to come up with five different sermons for every Sunday. That'd be pretty rough and whatnot. But this morning, I had your sermon prepared, but I didn't like it. And so, if you want to see what I was going to preach, here it is. It's one of those mornings. And so, this verse came to me coming down the road. And I will share some of the material from my sermon over at Bingham Chapel with you this morning, but in a different context. In the Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, we want to begin reading with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Isn't it strange that it takes the death of somebody for people to begin to come to reality? I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain they covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried on to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the other would answer, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the whole earth is full of his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that thou hast given to us. All too many times we forget the glory of this earth. In a time where everybody is worried about this world and global warming, which is really, as far as I'm concerned, nonsensical, we forget that you're in control. And you, O God, created it. And our minds have been moved away from that into fear, worry, and anxiety about no oil, about climate change. And we can't see your face. This morning I pray, O God, that thou would anoint me with thy Spirit so that I may turn the heads of these, thy people, toward you, to glorify you in the firmament of this great planet. Anoint me, I pray, and bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to church all too many times and we sing songs and we sit in our pew and we ignore the words, and the words are just mouthing and this sort of thing, and we forget the message that songs bring. I get tickled at contemporary religion today. They have all their music and everything, and before you know it, there's some artist just says, I want you to listen to the words. I want you to listen to the words. Well, if the music takes away from the words, there's a problem. Whenever I hear hymns and anthems, I want to see the words. I want to hear the words. And I want these words to glorify God. And one of your songs this morning, matter of fact, all of your songs basically went along with what I want to address this morning. The first one is, How Great Thou Art. Perhaps you saw me put this little blue slip in there, and I said, Now, Lord, I've changed. Now what are you going to do? And he says, Look at this song. Look at this song. I want you to think about it O Lord my God, when I am in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. We live in a day and age of science. Science is damned faith. Science is damned grace. We look at ourselves as people of science and we want to know. You prove that, we say. We want to know. And yet the Bible cries out, the just shall live by faith. God doesn't need science. He is science. Whenever this Bible of ours talks about science, I've discovered it's true. I've discovered it's right. Listen to what this psalmist says. Also, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Yesterday we had a thunderstorm come rolling through this area. I don't know about you, but it really hit down there in Fortson where I lived. I mean, it really boomed and banged. Matter of fact, I thought I lost my whole computer system. I was there cooking. I like to cook. And I was getting hungry for squash, my kind of squash. And so I went to the store all day yesterday. I was in a tither. I spent 3 hours in town. Now, it is aggravating to spend 3 hours in town. You want this, this, and this. And then, oh yes, my animals. I got to get something for my animals, and you'll hear about them in a minute. And so I went to three different stores to find some animal food for my special new friends. And I came home, and while I was at the store, I bought some squash, you know, these long-necked squash. And in my mind, I thought, boy, I'm going to have potatoes and squash and cut up onions in there and a little bit of bacon bits and just let them simmer down together. I love that. Now, Bobby, that's a delicacy. You might not like squash, but I knew he. Just his looks on his face told me. But it was delightful. And there I am, I'm staring, and I hear this thunder out there, and it doesn't sound real close. And I think, well, I have time to pull the plug of my computer and pull the phone way out of the wall and shut it all down and whatnot and this sort of thing. And when it gets a little closer, I'll do that. And all of a sudden, the lights flickered and dimmed, and the little buzzer on my computer went beep, 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 beep. I go, oh, no. I just knew I lost everything. So I went in and unplugged everything. That's too late. It's too late. But there was something there that didn't make me upset. A little critter came to see me, and my mind was more focused on that little critter than my computer problems. Look at what this psalmist says. Rolling thunder. I want you to stop and think about thunder and lightning for a minute. Now, we look at these displays of thunder and lightning, and we figured out scientifically exactly how it works. And we walk away from it uninspired. Totally uninspired. Some of us tremble. Voltaire, the great atheist, the humanist philosopher of France, it is said that a bolt of lightning and thunder hit his chateau in Switzerland. And he was so scared, he crawled under the table and he yelled, my God, save me, save me. And his company around the table just shook their head. Even atheists and philosophers who don't believe in God humble themselves with a good bolt of lightning. I mean, it does something to quicken your spirit. But I was in Arizona, and the most fantastic thunderstorm that I have ever witnessed took place at the Grand Canyon. I saw that thunderstorm come in off the Kaibab Plateau. And as it came across the canyon, the booming and the banging echoed in ways I have never heard thunder. The lightning struck in ways that I never saw lightning strike. It was awesome. I stood there, and finally my wife said, come on, we don't get wet. If you don't come on, you got to run. It's coming. And sure enough did. It gave us some hail and whatnot, but it was the most awesome display of divine power that I could have ever seen. And I give God credit for putting those natural laws in place. You have never seen a thunderstorm or heard a thunderstorm or saw a bolt of lightning until you stand on that great precipice of that canyon and look over and watch it come. Never. Perhaps this writer here Perhaps he one day was standing on the edge of the same canyon. Perhaps he was standing right where I was standing, and he too saw that thunderstorm or a thunderstorm come across. When through the woods for forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Oh, this guy, I think I gave this guy the words. How excellent is thy glory. Stop and think how excellent the works of God are. Just recently, one of the men of the church gave me a request. He knows a lot about Pine Mountain and Roosevelt State Park, and he liked to hike up there. And I kept on him. I said, "You got to take me hiking. You got." And finally, we went hiking about 2-3 Sundays ago, Roosevelt Park. And it was a most precious time. We walked in that park. We finally found the trail we wanted to go on. And I wanted to see the fish hatcheries that the men in the CCC camp built. I wanted to go there. I wanted to see that. And as we walked, this gentleman must have been a botanist, or at least he knew something about botany more than I do. I kind of know what poison looks like. Stay away from that. I know what an oak tree looks like. I know what a maple tree looks like, a pine tree, maybe not the varieties, a poplar tree, and beyond that, this guy is lost, okay? This guy is lost. Now, I think there might be some people in here in the Scouts. Hey, you're better than I am, so just forgive me. I mean, when I go out in the woods, I just go out to have a good time. Of course, I'm always respectful of the critters. When I step over a log, I take my stick before I get over the log. I tap it real good to see if there's a critter over there that might not like me stepping on their head, and, you know, stay out of their way. There's a little long varmint. You know, there's an animal that I hate. There's a snake. You know, I'm sorry, folks. I despise snakes. Thus far, God has been really good. He hasn't put a snake in my trail over at my house this year. Last year, I had to get rid of 2 copperheads. And then, and I tell you what, Hollywood lies. I discovered that last year with those snakes. Hollywood lies. You young people love to go to the movies. Don't believe them. They lie. They lie. You ever see these old Western movies where the cowboy comes riding in and the horse rears up and there's this rattlesnake on shaking his little rattle, and he pulls his gun and goes bang, shoots that snake dead. The first shot, the horse is in perpetual motion, and just like an Abrams tank who can stay his barrel aimed, got him. It's a lie. It took me 9 shots to kill Snake. And he was laying still. 9 shots. Right there, I knew Hollywood lied. My wife said, "Maybe you don't want to take your gun. It's going to cost too much to carry your gun just to get bullets." And Hollywood lies, you know. But I want you to stop and think about it and hear the birds. Have you ever heard a bald eagle out in the wild? Have you ever heard one call? Have you ever saw a bald eagle soar over your head? I did. It's the most spectacular thing you ever wanted to see. I was mowing one day, and all of a sudden this huge shadow came over me, and I just ducked like that. And I looked up, and there was this big bald eagle not more than 30 feet above me, and when he swept over those pine trees, you could see the limbs just shaking as he flew on through the woods. I just stood there. I was amazed at the power of that bird. Huge bird. Gorgeous bird. And did you know he is our national symbol, our national bird? What a magnificent bird. I'm so glad that Ben Franklin didn't give us the turkey for the national bird. You know, the only thing turkeys are good for is Thanksgiving, and trust me, I enjoy them then. And we have a few on our lot, and I don't shoot those. They come and go as they will. Then there's another bird. I call them hummers. You know the kind, little hummingbirds. This summer, I went out and I bought this little bottle with 4 neat little tacky-looking flowers on the bottom. And I knew we had at least one hummer there. I saw him last summer fly about. And so I said to my wife, "I'm putting this thing up." Gail said, "Ah," she said, "it's no, don't do it." Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I bought it. You spent too much. I bought it. Bought a big 64 ounces of nectar. That's what they call it. Red stuff. And I poured it in there, and I put it up, and sure enough, one day a little hummer came in. Okay. It was there up for 2 weeks. Now everybody says, you got to change that stuff out every so often and whatnot. Well, I'm stupid. I mean, all I do is teach. I got a master's, and I'm not very sharp. And so, it costs money. Let them drink it all, you know. And sure enough, within 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 hummers were gathered around. After a bit, one day I looked out, I need more stuff. So I bring the feeder in, and I'll wash it out, and take real good care of it, put the feeder, put it back up. And lo and behold, I have a whole flock of hummers. It has gotten so wonderful that when I come home from school at noontime, I make my lunch and I stand there and I watch out and I see these neat creatures that God created fly around that cheap Chinese-made feeder. There they are. Yeah, it was made in China. I tried to find one made in Korea or Hong Kong or, not Hong Kong, but Taiwan. Yeah, it was all made in China. And there they were. They play with each other. They dive at each other. They are the most magnificent little creatures. Have you taken time to sit and watch those little creatures? Did you get quiet and know God? It was a pleasure all summer long to see them stand still in the air and just hover around. Every now and then one would come to the window and right to the glass and just stop that far from my window pane. And I just stand there and say, well, see if it hurts. Come and see if it hurts. Have you ever held a hummingbird? Have you? Oh, there's not an experience like it. They are so delicate. They're so fragile. One day, a little hummingbird got caught in my garage. And my cat. Yeah, my cat is a cat. I love my cat. It does what cats do. Saw the hummingbird, the cat said, lunch is being served. That poor little hummingbird got so excited, hit the window of my door and fell down on the porch step. Well, luckily I was there. I got between the cat and this little hummingbird. And I told Gracie, she was in about sixth grade or seventh grade at that time, I said, take the cat in the house. And she picked up the cat and took it in the house. And this little hummingbird just laid there. Its little wings just out like that. Susan came and Gracie came. Dad, is it dead? Is it dead, Dad? I said, I don't know. How many of you know Mr. Blackmore, the animal doctor up the way? Yeah. I said, do you think Mr. Blackmore can fix a hummingbird? I don't know. We just looked at this fragile, beautiful little creature laying there on that cold brick step, And I touched the little bird. And it shocked me. His little heart was going, have you ever, it was going so fast. I jumped back, she said, Daddy, what's wrong? I said, wow. And both of my kids touched that little bird. Oh, Daddy. And so, I scraped that little bird into my hand. I positioned its little head so it wouldn't hurt the little bird. And I stood there, I looked at the kids and said, now what do I do? And they touched it, and I touched it, and they touched it, and I touched it. The glorious creation of God. I laid that little fella down on the front steps of the house. And every 5 or 10 minutes, me or one of the girls would go there and look. And I was praying that it was just kind of knocked out. And then, I didn't mean to, I bumped the door. And that little creature just shot off just as straight as a bullet. I said, yes, it's alive. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. They are the most delicate, magnificent creatures. And last night, I went out to do something on the porch. And I had a rake handle, got my rake, and I heard this, and I knew what was there. There was this little bird, not more than 5 feet away from me. And I turned and I looked, and the little bird was just standing there in the air, just hovering there. And he was looking at me. And I was looking at him. He was looking at me. And then to make matters worse, I think he called one of his friends over. He made a quaint, neat little chirping sound. And another little hummer came over and they looked at me too. They just shook their head and they said, "This creature is surely ugly." Yeah. I mean, they were the neatest little creatures, and they just stood there in the air, if you please. And they just chirped for about a minute and a half. I didn't move. I just observed those little things, and I wondered if I just put my finger up, I wonder if one would land on my finger. Did you know that science doesn't know how they fly? They have no explanation how those little birds fly, nor do they have an explanation of how bumblebees fly. Did you know that? Did you know that? The whole earth is full of his glory, says Isaiah. The whole earth is full of his glory. We live in a magnificent environment here in the South. And anywhere you go on this earth, you're going to find magnificent things to think about. This nation of ours. I think God dumped on us. He dumped the most beautiful things on any nation. That grammatically didn't come out right, I know. I just can't explain it. Have you gone coast to coast? Have you seen this great nation? Have you taken time to explore what God has given to us? One of the greatest testimonies of God's glory was Mount St. Helens. Do you remember that event? That volcano that went off? It just exploded. We had dust here in this region from Mount St. Helens. For 2 or 3 days, the sky was hazy. Do you recall that? All because of that mighty eruption of that volcano. It was the most scientifically analyzed eruption in the history of mankind. And while there was great decimation, there was great glory to be gained. Because of the eruption of Mount St. Helens, many scientists are no longer talking about thousands and millions of years. They're talking about things that happen rapidly. And Mount St. Helens did. I remember them saying that it would take hundreds and hundreds of years for this region to recover. 10 years later, the region is recovering. The animals are going through their same paths that they went through with the forest there. Little creatures are busy at work. And some people are saying, within the next 30 years, you might not know that there's an eruption. Until you get right up at the mountain. Raise the water level, Spirit Lake, by 90-some feet. There are fish now that are within a mile and a half of where they used to be in the streams that come down from that mountain. God used that mountain to show mankind his awesome power. What mankind does is, oh, this is just natural. But who developed the natural laws? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit moved, and God spoke, and it was so. Let there be light, and there was light. And then God said, oh, there's too much light. Let's have a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. And it was so. Let the earth bring forth creatures of all kinds. And it was so. And God walked around and, you know, we can improve on this. Let there be hummingbirds. And it was so. Oh, let there be a lot of birds. And it was so. We got to feed these birds. And so God created the earth. And after God created the earth, he sat down on a cliff, on an edge of the rock. He sat down. And he put his head in his hand. And he looked over the magnificent creation, particularly all that he put in the United States. God said, I'm lonely. I am really lonely. And he thought, and he contemplated, and he said, I know what I'll do. I'll make a man. And God made man. In this scene, we have God sitting in heaven. And they cry out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. My friends, this world is so beautiful, magnificent. I tremble to think what heaven is like. I tremble to think what the holiness of God is like in the interim of heaven. I want to conclude with the story of Bishop Asbury. Bishop Asbury had a slave. His name was Black Harry. Black Harry was a great preacher, too. And if Bishop Asbury couldn't get somewhere, he'd send Black Harry. Along the way, however, Black Harry took to alcohol. And for a while, Black Harry was out of commission. But before he died, Black Harry got his life and heart right with God. But Bishop Asbury loved Black Harry. And one day, Bishop Asbury told Black Harry, he said, Harry, I've got to be over here. Would you go over here to so and such a church? He says, Harry, I have never been at that church. Would you go there for me and would you preach? Yes, sir, boss, I'll go. And Black Harry, true to the calling of God, went to that church and he preached. That church was blessed. The Spirit of God fell. The people were blessed. And at the end of the church service, one man looked at the other man. He said, My, he said, if this Asbury servant can preach like this, my, what his master must preach like. My, if God has given us a creation like this, my, what God must have in heaven. In my Father's house is many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. And right now, as I speak, he's preparing a place for us in the most beautiful area in all the world, heaven. Indeed, the whole earth is full of his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that thou hast given to us. Bless us, we pray, and help us to do thy will, and help us to serve you and bring others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.